This mail today cost us $6.95 from the dining hall. So we went ahead and charged $8. So then we started looking for a $1.05 preacher. And the first person we thought about was David Light. Those of you, by the way, that didn't eat and are sitting over there, you owe us $1.05. Now we're glad to have you. Molly Light from down at Mississippi, young Pope.
Poland. We're Pope Mississippi in Poland.
And she was a missionary in Poland for several years. Glad to have you. She's still there.
My husband, Mike Davidoff.
Good to have you both. Brother David Light came to school here, got his third year degree here, met Linda Wilson here. Linda Light is his good wife. And down in the Brown Trail, when he was down there in the Fort Worth area, and he came in and said from the pulpit, "Don't call me Lippy, it's Light." And what have you been calling him ever since?
Lippy. I know I can get his attention by saying David Lippy.
Brother Eddie Parker is an elder at the Brown Trail School and the congregation brother. And the school is located there. David and Linda have three daughters, Carrie, Rachel, and Nikki. He is a professor of Bible and counseling and interdisciplinary studies. And he's the director of the lectureship. And as the director of the lectureship, he has our utmost sympathy, does he not? This is a big job to do. And we appreciate all of the details you and the committee take care of, Brother David. In 2003, he was named Distinguished Professor by the FHU Board of Trustees. Held that for 3 years. He went on for his MA in Philosophy of Religion and Christian Apologetics from the Harding Graduate School in Memphis. There he continued to study under, he studied under Dr. Warren here, and then did a lot of other work with Brother Warren, and he'll reveal that to you during this session today. He's been preaching incidentally since 1967. He's participated in two public debates himself, and he's contributed many religious papers and has written several books. We're delighted to have him to discuss the debate with Brother Warren. During the midst of his comments, he will indicate some things about these two sheets that you have before you. Let's all welcome Brother David Light.
Well, thank you, Brother Sam. How many of us think that Sam needs another venue? What do you think? Sam, I believe you need a bigger room, brother. There's a lot of interest in the restoration, and I'm happy for it, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm very glad to be here today. When Sam asked me to do this some time ago, I told him that I did not really wish to do this. I don't think that speaking after dinners is my cup of tea. I would love to preach the gospel to some lost people, and I enjoy doing that and have done quite a bit of that. And so, but at any rate, I'll do the best that I can. So I asked Sam what to talk about, and he said, "Well, tell people things that they don't know." Something to that effect, and about Brother Warren and some of his debates, and so I will attempt to do that today. Just a couple of things. First of all, I'm glad to see my good cousin Molly and her husband Mike here. They have worked in Poland for many years and continue to be there, and Molly's good parents, Ray and Belle Life, have done a lot for Christian education, and Ray passed away just last year, and so it's good to see Molly. Wanted to take a special note of that. And then Ms. Light, y'all know Ms. Light? She's that mean redhead above us here. She's the redhead that does a whole lot of things, and sometimes people don't like the way she does it, but she gets it done, and I'm proud of her for it. But at any rate, just a correction, Brother Sam, you may not know this. You said things that folks don't know. Ms. Life and I met when she came to visit her sister, Jean Thomas, who was married to the preacher at Batesville, Mississippi, in 1963. And she was, I think, 13 or 14, and I was 14 or 15, whatever. And so we had one day a year for 4 years and then got married. that's sort of a little interesting tidbit. All right, I first met Dr. Warren when I was a student at Freeharden. I came here in 1967, and I stayed, as Sam indicated, for the junior college degree. And then in those days, they had what was called a third-year certificate in Bible. Free Hardeman, in my opinion, had just the best Bible program in that third-year program, and really enjoyed that. And how many of you went through that particular program? It's an excellent program. I guess I took every course that Brother Warren taught. I had three courses by Brother Dixon, and Hebrews, Romans, and premillennialism. He actually died in November 69 in the midst of our course in premillennialism. I had Brother Wallace in Acts, and then of course I had Brother Warren in a lot of courses. I did not have Brother Warren until a Christian Evidences class, which would have been in about 68, 69, somewhere in there. And it was in that class that he stimulated my interest in philosophy, and which eventually led me to do a doctorate at the University of Tennessee in philosophy. And a lot of us were influenced by him in that area and went to do higher degrees. Our own Brother Ralph Gilmore, Gary Cage out in Nevada was in the same class with me. And Brother Ralph was actually behind me. And then there were others, you know, who also pursued higher degrees because of his influence. I left Fried Hardeman in 1970 and transferred to Harding. And I think that was the same year, if I'm not mistaken. Lindsay can correct me. And we're glad to have Lindsay, Brother Warren's son, here today, and his grandson, Bart. He has other grandsons, but these are the two that I know really well. Let's give them a round of applause. I went to Harding, and I think it was the same year that Dr. Warren actually went to Harding Graduate School. So I had taken Brother Warren for all of his classes here, and then I went to Harding. And then he went to Harding grad when I was over at Harding, and then I transferred from Harding to Harding Graduate School. And so we started our time together there once again. During all of these classes, Dr. Warren impressed upon us the importance of defending the truth. And we had all heard reasons, as you have, about not defending it, especially in a debate context. He helped us understand that Romans 1 in the King James, where it condemns debate, you know, was really talking about strife, and he helped us see that, you know, some debates, of course, were improperly conducted in the past, and, you know, some people object that they don't do any good, and sometimes, you know, people say the truth will defend itself, and all of those things, and he worked through all of that, spent a lot of time showing us that that was abuses in many instances. And while you have abuses, that does not mean, of course, that it's not a good thing if done properly. And so he really impressed upon me the importance of passages like Jude 3 to contend for the faith, or 1 Peter 3:15 to be ready to give an answer to every person who asks concerning a reason of our hope, or 1 Thessalonians 5:21 to prove all things, and 1 John 4:1 to test the spirits, and things along that line. I was greatly impressed with those verses. And then other verses like Psalms 119:104 that we should hate, you know, every false way, and so on. But those are just some of the general things. Now let me mention some things more specifically about about Brother Warren. To the best of my knowledge, Brother Warren had 18 debates. 18 public debates, and I have provided a list. Sam, did everybody get that list? And so you can look down that list and see if I miscounted. And Bart, there may be some other information there that I don't have, but you can see the debates that he has had. These are at least the ones that I have found. I'm happy to say that I have a copy of the Warren Welch debate. Brother Warren debated D.L. Welch in, where was it, DeRidder, Louisiana. And when was it, brother? Did I write that down in here? In the 50s. Yeah, okay. In 54, and I have the debate that he has that he had with Welch on tape. And I'm looking forward to Brother Tom Childers here getting that for me on the CD. I've not listened to it in, well, I listened to it. Welch was a Pentecostal, and I listened to that debate and took copious notes in preparation for the debate that I had with Billy Lewis from Fraser in 1976 on Godhead, Holy Spirit, baptism, miracles. The seemed like we had another proposition, but it skips my mind right now. But at any rate, I have that debate on tape. Has anybody got it? Does anybody want to ask it this time? Do any of you have any debates besides, say, like the flu debate, the Matson debate? Some of the older debates. Do you have any of those on any kind of audio format? I wonder what happened to him, because I know he had his debate with Welch on tape, because I got it. And I want to get that, Brother Thomas, we're going to put that on CD and we want to try to make it available. It's really interesting. One of the most interesting things to me about that particular debate was when Brother Warren was speaking, apparently Welch was trying to do something to distract the audience. And Brother Warren just stopped and said, you know, look at him over there, you know, what he's trying to do. You know, that's not going to take away from, you know, what these scriptures have to say. And I was just really impressed with that. And I assisted Brother Warren in his in two of his main debates, one with Anthony Flew in 1976 in Denton, Texas, and then with Wallace Matson in 1978. In Tampa, Florida. Both of these debates were on the existence of God. They have a little different orientation if you've read them, but both of them were on the subject of the existence of God. Now, what did we do to get ready for these debates? Actually, let's see. I was living in Memphis at the time. I was preaching at Macon Road, and so we worked very closely in preparing for these discussions. And the first thing that we did, of course, was to get propositions. That was really important, to get agreement on propositions. And then we read everything that we could from the disputant. I remember taking Dr. Warren for a course in, I think it was Philosophy of Religion was the title of it, maybe. And in that particular semester, we studied as a class Flew's book, God and Philosophy. And each student took a particular chapter in that book, and we wrote a term paper on it. And I thought that was really good, because not only was Brother Warren doing a good job teaching, you know, the classes that he was assigned to teach, but he was also, you know, being able to prepare, you know, for this very, very important discussion. And then, so we read all that we could and tried to, you know, develop arguments to deal with the information. I was really, one of the things that really impressed me was there's a lot of difference between debating and preaching a sermon. You can get up and preach a sermon and sit down, but in a polemic platform, you get up, you present a case, and then someone's responding to that case, and then you have the responsibility to respond to what that person has had to say. And I've heard discussions, and I'm sure you have, and I've sat there and said, wow, that's the end of everything. You know, nothing else on the planet can be said, you know, about this subject. And then hear someone come up behind it and do you know, give some really good responses. And I thought to myself, well, wow, what would I say to that? And it was it really impressed me how Brother Warren was so capable in that respect. And it emphasized to me the importance of even in, say, like a Bible study. Just yesterday, we were studying 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I made the point, of course, you know what, how Paul's talking about the division of the Corinthians there, and you know, he's making the point about the wood, hay, stubble Christians and the gold, silver, precious stone folks, and then he talks about, Brother Robert, where is it, verse? Which verse is it where it says, if any man's work be burned, is that verse 11? Or Garland, one of y'all know, 1 Corinthians 3, where it says, his work will be burned, but he himself shall suffer loss, but he can be saved. Mm-hmm. And I made the point that our denominational friends use that to teach once saved, always saved. And so to me, the techniques that are used a lot in debating are techniques that can be used even in a Bible study. You know, you're studying the Bible with someone, and they bring, and you may be able to flesh out the text, but they bring up something, you know, that represents their particular religious view. It's helpful to know that, you know, beforehand, so you can come back and respond to that. So that's one of the things that I have benefited from using debating techniques, actually, in Bible studies. When I helped Dr. Warren, we utilized overhead transparencies. Now we've got a lot of more technology, PowerPoint, and so on, and I have mixed emotions about some of this. My brother Tom here, he thinks that we don't have enough technology, and he prays for the ignorant brethren all the time. But you know, but some of us are just not as fancy as Brother Tom, you know, here, and Brother Sam over here. But as a matter of fact, I've got so many bases to cover during the lectureship, and so many people wanting PowerPoint anymore, I can't cover all the bases. And so this one brother, he was just really bugging me about this. And it's like, I've got about 20 million things to take care of. And it's like, you know, your speech is the only one on the planet, you know, and so forth. And y'all know my fuse is short anyway. And I said, brother, I said, could you just preach like Jesus did? He said, what do you mean? I said, don't use PowerPoint. At any rate, now brother Mark Blackwelder and good brethren like that, and Sam, y'all would disagree with me on that. But I do use some PowerPoint in my classes, but at any rate, I think sometimes maybe we run that in the ground. That's just my opinion, and I have the right to share that. You have the right to share your opinion. But at any rate, we had overhead transparencies. These are absolutely essential in a debate. If you don't, and I guess today you wouldn't do that. You'd put it in some kind of PowerPoint format, I would assume. But in that day, we're talking the 70s, you know, that was the best thing that we had. So we made transparencies. How many did we make? For flu, we made 500 plus. These things were like gold. I don't know even where they are. I suppose they're in your possession, Bart or Lindsay. to show you how precious they were, when we flew from Memphis to Texas for the flu discussion, I don't know how. I've ridden first class one time, and that was on that occasion. I guess what we did was we bought a seat for the transparencies. Because I remember Brother Warren, you know, we had 500 of them, and they were in like briefcases. And so we had them on the seat, and he did not want me to take my hands off of the briefcases in the whole trip. And I'm saying, like, they're right there, you know, they're not going to go anywhere. But, I mean, it's, you know, you can lose a lot of things, can't you?
Yeah.
But you can't lose that. Every meeting I go on, last thing I'll say, if I got my Bible and if I got my sermons. I showed up one time in Jacksonville, Florida. I didn't have any socks and I didn't have any ties. I can deal with that. I went to a store and I bought socks and ties. But I can't go buy this very Bible, can I? You know, or my lessons and so on. So at any rate, we had a lot of transparencies. And I remember one night that Dr. Flew came by the table and had all these transparencies laid out, and he wanted to, he asked about them. This was like maybe the first night, and I said, well, this is preparation for the discussion. And he was really impressed. As a matter of fact, Dr. Flew wrote his speeches on a daily basis. You may not be aware of that, but he didn't have any prepared speeches, and he actually wrote his speeches on a daily basis, or at least a lot of what he had to say. He might have had some prepared materials, but I remember all he had was just a little legal pad, and he shared that with me as we talked about preparation. It was a bit challenging because to do this discussion because. You know how you've heard Brother Warren speak, and depending upon what point was going to be made. There was a you had anticipated that point already and had already prepared a response, you know, for that, hopefully. And so it was like turn to this particular, you know, transparency or that other one. And you know, it's like I want it now. It's, I don't want it later on. I want it right now. And so it was pretty a daunting task for me to deal with 500 of those and get it up on the screen pretty quickly. Okay, after the discussion each night, we would rehearse things. I can't remember, Brother Elkins, were you with us in Denton there? In the motel room, we rehearsed, you know, each night after the discussion.
Okay.
But at any rate, I couldn't remember for sure. I thought that you were. I know Brother Deaver was, and Brother Bales, I believe, was at the flu discussion, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right on that? I think that's right. Yeah, okay. I guess it was Brother, he moderated, I think, and I think Brother Deaver helped in the Matson discussion. Is that right? Okay, all right. I think you may be right about that. Okay, but at any rate, so we would go back to the motel room or wherever and jot down quickly, you know, the highlights, and then the next morning would get up and re-listen to speeches, and so you know what was said the night before, you know, listen to again, try to identify areas that had to be dealt with, and then to prepare charts. You know, for those speeches. All right, Brother Coughlin.
Haven, some news has filtered in for the Brown Trail Church that flu is kind of softening up in his old age, realizing he's going to die before long. And that was published in one of the church bulletins some time ago. Here's Brother Parker, one of the elders from the church. And I felt like this group needed to know that he is beginning to think now they may have been the creator for the universe. And it would be fine if somebody could go over there to England and visit him and sit down and talk to him heart to heart in regard to his death and the things that he needs to think about. Now, I thought I'd just pass that word on to y'all this afternoon.
Right. We appreciate that, Brother Perry. Brother Perry, actually, I have Flew's book, and I want to make a comment on that in just a moment. Thanks for calling that to our attention. On the particular, on the transparencies that we made from day to day, frequently, Brother Warren would say, we tried to anticipate all the things that we could, but then something would come up. And I remember one time, night, he said, well, tomorrow we need a chart on degrees of reward and punishment. And that's what he would say. And what that meant was for me to go get, you know, transparencies on that. And I actually meant to bring those, but I forgot to do that. But they're in, I think it's actually in the Matson discussion. At any rate, I drew so many charts, and most of the charts that I drew are in the Matson discussion, that some people have said that they couldn't tell a whole lot of difference between my writing and Dr. Warren's writing. And Sam thought it might be valuable to hand this out. So does that look a little similar to you?
I showed this to Linda Light 3 days ago. I said, which one is your husband's right? And it took her 15 minutes to figure out which one was yours.
Okay.
Brother Light.
Yes, sir.
Brother Warren Jones had a vision yesterday with flu and fever. And he saw it a little book of God, how atheist. He said that had been used to the point.
Is that right? Okay, and I want to hear more things like that, and you know, from you, if Brother Sam will allow us the time. I don't know how this happened, because if you look at the Matson discussion, I meant to bring that book. Does anybody have it today? At any rate, in the Matson discussion, there are charts from Dr. Warren. Actually, Dr. Warren's on the left-hand side here, and I'm on the right-hand side. We both used the same kind of pen. We both used the same transparencies. But in the Matson discussion, you'll find some charts, and you'll notice that both of us have basically the same slant, you know, on the letters. In the Matson discussion, you'll find some charts that are really nice charts, but the letters are they're straight up and down. They don't have any slant to them. That's Phil Thompson, Brother Lindsay. Remember, Brother Phil, and he drew the chart. So if you're looking at that and you just want to know something of interest, the letters up and down is Phil Thompson. The ones leaning is Dr. Warren, and I have several in the Matson discussion. Okay, let's see. Soon after the discussion, there was a lot going on in 76. In 76, I met Billy Lewis on some of the tenets of United Pentecostalism, and Brother Warren moderated for me. That debate was in the high school auditorium of Fraser High School, and then on the last night, Brother Elkins, we moved to the church. Where Brother Gibson, and I say, is that right? The Fraser Church of Christ.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that where Brother John?
John Simpson.
Yeah, Brother John Simpson, not Gibson, Brother Simpson labored. And I can't remember why we had to move, but at any rate, we had to move the last night there. So Brother Warren helped me with that discussion, and then that was really interesting in itself. I just got to tell you this one little thing about Brother Warren and that discussion. Lewis kept, and he had, of course, Brother Woods, Lewis had wanted to debate me, but Brother, I didn't really think I was the one suitable to do that, and so I got Brother Woods to do it the first year I was at Macon Road, which would have been, I guess, maybe fall of 75. And so, and Brother Woods did an outstanding job. Well, Lewis was speaking on, I think the radio program was KSUD, and was that out of West Memphis? Or? Okay, out of West Memphis, Arkansas, and I mean just every day, you know, he's just hammering the church, you know, talking about, you know, us, you know, not meeting him, just things like, you know, that we needed to have more discussion and so forth. Well, I thought Brother Woods nailed, you know, the last nail in the coffin, you know, on that discussion. But to accommodate him, we had a discussion the next year. And Lewis kept quoting Beyer. Is that the way you say it? You know, it's not Art and Gingrich. It's
Bauer.
Bayer, okay. And, of course, Bayer, I've heard it pronounced in different ways, was a German theologian. And so I remember that Dr. Warren went up to Lewis's table one night before the discussion. And, of course, Dr. Warren, you know, could speak German. And he just rattled off all this German, you know, to Lewis. And he just stared at him, you know. And I thought, well, that was really a neat technique. You know, that got him rattled for the rest of the night. the point that he was making is if you're going to quote, you know, someone as an authority, you know, you might need to be able to speak the language. But in any event, I thought that was really interesting. Okay, soon after the discussion that I had and the discussion that Dr. Warren had with Dr. Flew, he suffered a heart attack. And you remember that. That was in the, does anybody remember the month? Do you remember Brother Garland? It was in the fall. Lindsay, was it fall? Do you know? 76? Remember?
I thought it was summer.
May have been summer. I can't remember. But it was soon after the discussions that both of us had. And Brother Warren, of course, was in he was in a pretty bad way during that time. And he had a successful surgery and then had more surgeries following that. Ended up, he passed in August 2000, all right? Yeah, I think it was a week after his birthday, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, one thing he said was, I thought I was...
Okay. And so he called me to his house not very far from you all. What was the name of that street? Okay.
His one, Irving.
Right, yeah, off of Estate, just... off of Park, am I right?
Yeah, Park up this
yeah place. Right. And he called me over there one day, and he had you know, gotten out of the hospital. We had been with him during the during his hospital stay, and he asked me, and I just told this to Lindsay the other day, and I don't guess I've ever said this. I know I haven't said it publicly, but he asked me if I would prepare the flu discussion for written form, because it was, you know, an oral, of course, delivery, and so. I was happy to do that, and so I took all the tapes from the flu discussion and went back over them again, and then tried to, the best that I could make the prepare it for a print, prepare it for printed material. It takes quite a bit because in speaking, you just make blunders and you have uhs and you start and stop and all of that stuff, and all that has to be weeded out, you know, to prepare it for a written copy. And so
I'm talking about flu there. You're not talking about Brother Warren.
All right. It was the flu. It was the flu discussion. It was Brother Warren's material and Dr. Flu's material.
But the us and the odds and mistakes is flu's, not Brother Warren.
Okay. Well, I would like to think he was perfect, Brother Eddie, but he wasn't. He did.
No, the same Brother Warren. I do.
Okay. All right. Okay. We all have little slips here and there, and I think you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, getting it from an oral flavor to a written flavor is what I'm trying to say. Okay, let's see. All right, now I want to get to Brother Cotham's point. This is the book that Dr. Flew has recently written. How many of you have this? Okay, a few of you do. It's titled, There Is a God. I have read most of this book. He says that the subtitle is How the World's Most Notorious Atheist Changed His Mind. He has a little comment about that in here. That, let's see, I don't have it underscored. But at any rate, he didn't put that subtitle in. But what I wanted to call to your attention was, let me go back to the table of contents. He has these divisions. One is My Denial of the Divine. Then he has My Discovery of the Divine. And in the discovery part, on page 67, he has a heading, Sticking to My Guns. Sticking to My Guns. And then he says, of all my debates, the two best attended were the debates of 1976 and 1998. The 1976 debate with Thomas Warren in Denton, Texas, had an audience on different days of 5,000 to 7,000. And then he talks about a discussion he had with William Lane Craig, which was also well attended. On page 68 of the debate with Brother Warren, he says, Before an enthusiastic audience, Dr. Warren wielded an impressive array of charts and slides. Of course, you know that sentence would stick out to me. Interestingly, a good part of his case was an attack on the theory of evolution, which at that time seems to me to be a novel undertaking. And then I was also impressed with this sentence by Dr. Flew, the last sentence of this discussion on page 69. I was impressed with the hospitality of my host, but the debate ended with both Warren and I sticking to our guns. And so I really believe that discussion had something to do with his turnaround.
Amen.
I just believe that deep in my heart, and I think he was impressed, you know, with the kindness of Christian people, and also with the logic of the discussion. Where is Dr. Flew? He does not believe in the God that we believe in, the God of the Bible. At this point, we're in hopes, as Brother Cotham says, that he will get there. But I guess from what reading I have done, and you all correct me in just a moment if you think I'm mistaken, he'd be more like a deist. He believes that there's a force. He believes that there's got to be some intelligence. It's also interesting to me that he drew this conclusion based on what we would really call the argument based on design, and, you know, in just popular terms. But he's really impressed with some things relative to DNA and things along that line. And the rest of you who maybe know more about that can say what you like to about that in just a moment. Okay, let's see. Dr. Warren was a great gospel preacher. He was a great debater. And I'm thankful for the impression that he made on me as well as many other people. There are a lot of men and women today who are serving the Lord faithfully because of his influence. This is my 30th year of teaching. This is my 18th year at Freed Hardeman. I was hired under Brother Gardner, and I have enjoyed and continue to enjoy the work that I have here. Because of the influence of Brother Warren, I'm able and privileged to teach many of the same classes, Christian Evidences, teach a course in ethics, teach logic, teach a course called Seminar for Bible Majors, where students actually have to take a particular proposition and prepare. I make them prepare for that proposition, just like you'd prepare for a debate. And then I debate each student in class. And that's exactly the way Brother Warren did it in the class that I had with him. I don't remember what the title of it was, but at any rate, we had a class like that. And then I may be the only one here that does this. I don't know for sure if I am, but I've been told that by many people that they think that's the case, that I do a lot of oral exams with students, especially final exams, where, for example, I taught denominational dogmas last year, and if a student, a student may work on a particular denomination, but if you have 30 denominations that are studied in that class, I just put them all in a hat, as it were, and they get to pick out two, and then they get to pick one, and they have to debate me on that. And that's a lot of fun. It takes a lot of time. But I learned that lesson, though, from Brother Warren. And I'll tell you how I learned that. I wrote a fine paper, I thought it was, anyway, on the Latter-day Saints. And boy, I guess Brother Warren said, now you got to be ready for all the churches. But I was ready for Latter-day Saints. And his office was in Old Main, over, you walk up the steps, then like you'd go to the right to go up to Old Chapel Hall, his office, you'd take a left. And then it was over there on the left. I don't know what's there now. It'd be across from the historical room. Okay, and his office was there at that time. And so I went in there, ready for Latter-day Saints, and Brother Warren said, all right, David, I am a missionary Baptist today. I said, all right. So I did the best that I could, but I still remember the point that he got me on. And so it's sort of like, have all of you had that experience? It's, you mess up on something, and then you're corrected on it, and that's the thing that you remember, forever. I had that with Brother Dixon and many of my other teachers. There are many today who do not appreciate, I think, as much as they should, those in the past, many of whom worked under very difficult circumstances. They worked at tremendous sacrifice, and many of us today enjoy the fruits of their labors. Amen. We are able to stand in pulpits, and we're able to stand in classrooms, and we're able to be here today because of the labors of many others who've gone before us. Amen. Men like Brother Gardner and others who have worked hard at this school, Brother Thomas, and so many people who've worked really hard to do what they have done. So I see Chris Coyle, Brother Coyle, and the good work that he's done, and Brother Basil Overton, my good friend in Florence, Alabama, and Brother Cotham, and the good work that he continues to do. We don't need to forget these people. Can you amen that?
Amen.
I'm grateful for them. And we can learn how to conduct ourselves today, and we can learn how to study today. I'm convinced there's some people today who don't even know how to study the Bible, and they have not benefited from some great teachers like Brother Warren, Brother Dixon, and others. And so I'm grateful for their sacrifice. Among the truly great preachers and defenders was Thomas B. Warren. I'm glad to have been associated with him. Because of him, I met many other good people who also loved him, Brother Eddie Parker and his good wife Juanita, and Kippy Myers. I ran into Kippy Myers because of Brother Warren, because I went to Dallas to work on a doctorate, and I met Kippy Myers out there and the Parkers, and I'm happy to have known him and to have known his good wife, Faye, who was Sister Warren to me, but that's the way I knew her, and his daughters Karen and Jan, who just recently lost one of her sons. I suppose all of you know that by now. And his fine son, Lindsay, who's been my very dear friend for a long, long time. And then I don't know many of his grandchildren, but I know Bart. And Bart Warren is they're second to none as far as good student, being a good student of the Bible. And I appreciate the good work that he does. And I hope that you will appreciate, come to love and appreciate Brother Warren like I do. And let us not forget those, as I've said, who've gone before us, who have worked hard and made sacrifices for the opportunities that we enjoy today. Thank you. Wait, okay. Sorry, Sam.
You might want to tell about how you took Brother Warren's clogging. Okay,
good point. Brother Elkins, I'd forgotten about that. He didn't actually have, in this very beautiful house that he had, he didn't have really a good place to study, did he? But he had a big closet, and he wanted me to put shelves in that closet, and I actually put shelves in it and made a table in it for him. And I mean, you opened the door up, and it was basically like a big piece of plywood that had a place cut out in it, you know, that the chair would go up, go up in, and he studied right there. I mean, I complain a little bit. I've been in my office for 18 years on the third floor. It's 7 feet wide and 30 feet long. it has no windows, and I have a student worker that I get a few hours of help out of each week. And Brother Warren was in this little closet, you know, where he hammered out all of those arguments and drew all of those transparencies. Thank you for reminding me of that. Brother Gardner.
You mentioned Faye. She was one of my secretaries.
Okay.
When they were here, she was a good secretary. I didn't have a lot of telephone. We had a discussion on the Holy Spirit. And, of course, you know how that that's the only time I remember that we had very much.
Speaking of that, Brother Gardner, I remember, as some of you, I was just a student, but we had open forum, didn't we, in the Henderson Church building?
Yes.
Didn't we? A year or two? And Brother Woods was discussing some things there, as he did about every year, didn't he, on the Holy Spirit? And I remember that Brother Warren, you know, came over there, and he got into discussion with Brother Nichols and all of them. Any of you remember that occasion? Okay. Thank you, Brother Gardner. Brother Elkins.
I worked with him more than 7 years.
Yes, sir.
But he was a gentleman as well as a
man. A lot of people don't see that in some great preachers, I think. It's like Brother Woods. The first time I was exposed to Brother Woods was in the open forum. And then I ended up living in Memphis. And I was working on this debate for Lewis. And, of course, I hadn't done enough research to find out that Brother Woods knew something about that. And I never, you know, was too bashful, so I just drove over to his house. And, you know, someone said, well, you just can't drive to a man's house like that. And I said, well, I guess you can. I mean, he puts his pants on like everybody else up here. You know, I mean, I was just kind of a little cocky about it all, I guess. But I drove over there, knocked on his door, have not met a more pleasant person. And welcomed me into his home and spent a lot of time with me. And we worked on arguments and so forth. And it's really good, I think, to get to know people you know, all levels, not just in the pulpit, but thank you for making that comment, Brother Elkins. Brother Taylor, I know you work with them a lot. Do you have any?
I always had the highest respect for him.
Okay, Brother Anthony.
Just a curiosity, the 20-year gap between debates, between 1956 and 1976, any accounting for that?
I can't speak to that. Can you, Bart? Or Lindsay?
Schoolwork would be part of it.
He said a lot of his school work, and he was working on his doctorate at that time.
Yeah. Just curiosity.
Okay. Might be, there were just not as many debates after the 50s.
He didn't have his doctorate degree at that time. He sat in our house and said, I'm going to get my doctorate degree so I can debate these atheists. Mm-hmm. They won't get on the hold him with you unless mm-hmm. you've got a doctor's degree. Okay. He didn't need a doctor's degree. Mm-hmm. But he did in order mm-hmm. to fulfill what right. he wanted to do.
Right. Yeah, the question is why we didn't have as many debates so from the 50s to 70s.
Well, regardless. The health problem that was pretty serious right. when he was here teaching with us, we had to check
yes,
his office. And,
he had to have the fluorescent light.
No, he couldn't sit under fluorescent lights. It'd take the skin off of him. Mm-hmm. Or a computer, he didn't have a computer. TV, sunlight. Very few people know the suffering that Brother Warren did down through
the years. He really missed his golf and all that he used to do. And Brother Elkins.
Of course, he would put his head like
slurping. Well, he did suffer a lot with that. Yes, sir.
I just speaking from a distance because I didn't know through Jay Apple and then Danny Newport and Lindsay. I read Ella Fowler today. Jody gave me that book at a time when I was really struggling with a friend of mine who was a faith only advocate. And that book helped to clear my mind of doubts and confusion. Helped to set me straight with a lot of things that I was struggling with. And that book still affects me today in the way I preach, in the way I talk with people, in the way I evangelize. And I'm so very grateful for the family, for the efforts that Brother Warren put forth. And it's just been a big, huge influence in my life. I'm from Philadelphia. I mean, I was a Catholic, came out of the Catholic Church, and searching for truth. When I really struggled, Brother Warren helped me with those things. When I just read through that book, I ate it up. And I'll tell you, if you're in this room today...
Which one was it again? I missed it.
The Ellis Warren Ballard debate.
Okay.
I've showed many of my brethren that book, and they read that, and they're like, wow, I've never heard these
excellent.
Concepts, these things before. I tell all my friends, I said, you need to read Brother Warren's material. It'll help you in your teaching. So I can't, it's affected me in a big, big way.
Okay. Thank you for that. Brother Sam.
Appreciate it very much.
Let's give a hand. That's rather high.
I hope you'll keep your tickets. You might want to use that as a bookmark or something. I have these images on my computer, and I put this together. Notice in one of the pictures, there's the Warren flu debate, and then Brother Warren with the open Bible, and then he's standing in front of his books and is in the library. This came out of the yearbook here. And so that would represent his teaching here and elsewhere. And then when he's younger there on the left, the lower left, and then at the top he's visiting with, that is Flossie Hardiman, who was one of the dorm parents here, and can tell how congenial of a person he was if you knew him personally. What does any of you novices, now you older ones know this, look down there, NCP, what does that emblem stand for?
Press.
National Christian Press. This has been the title of his publication work for years, and keeping that alive for many years was Brother Lindsay Warren and his wife Susan. And now Bart has care of that. Bart is an excellent preacher of the gospel south of here at Antioch. Is that it? And we're glad to see them keeping these books in print. We're going to give four of these away. And tell me your birthday, Bart. Not the year, just the date.
April 27th.
Anybody got a birthday close to April 22nd?
27. How about the
15th? 15th, there's
a year and a half.
29.
April 5th.
At 10 days, within 10 days. Can you beat that?
May
5th. 12. Okay. This is the Warren and Flu debate. Oh, is that closer?
29.
That's just 2 days. Yes, that is close. I'm sorry. Now this is another of the debates. This is the Warren Fuqua debate. Your birthday, Lindsay.
August
24th. Who has the closest birthday? August 24th. What's yours?
August
19th. August
19th. There was an August
19th. But not the 24th.
See, logic, Brother Logic tells us that the 24th is the things that are equal, the same thing, are equal to each other. Logic and the Bible. Let's see. Brother Light, when's your birthday?
February 11th.
February 15th.
All right, we got the 15th.
Seventh.
Are you closer than, let's see.
Eight.
Who's the winner? I didn't keep up.
Give it
here. Who's got the
13th?
Now this one is a series of lectures, but in a sense it's a debate. It's lectures on church cooperation and orphans' homes.
My wife typed those up for me.
Well, in that case, what's your birthday? What's your birthday, Brother Farnham? Well,
she's got a copy that was signed back.
I know.
April 15th.
April the 15th is yours. Who's got close birthday?
17th.
2 days. Within 2 days of that. Anybody beat that? April
15th. Still the 5th. All right.
We're systematically trying to keep every one of these in print. If you'll look on the table over here at my display, we reprinted a book. And Bart told me to do this by Reuben Shelley. And my wife said, "You're not going to put that book out, are you?" I said, "Yes, I'm good." And this was back in the time when Brother Reuben was all right. And it's on What Shall We Do with the Bible? Good book. We've got that one back in print. We're doing some other. We need to get this one back in print on The Home as God Would Have It.
I was a student at Free Heart of a freshman in 1983 in Ford, and when Brother Shelley was just beginning to make his statements that seemed to be off kilter,
yeah.
It was Brother Warren's work in the spiritual sword that really helped me and a lot of the fellow students here on campus that were grappling with those issues. Brother Warren addressed in a series of editorials, Brother Elkins too, along with all the other writers, but Brother Warren specifically to address questions that we had in our minds, and then came out with a little booklet called Christians Only that was outstanding. And I have used that and the accompanying questions along with it on Christian unity in several sermons, and when I went in 1996 to the Scholars Conference at Lipscomb, I based a lot of the things that I had to say on Brother Warren's material because it's unanswerable, and it really helped a lot of us.
I suppose of all the books, that's the hardest one for us to keep in print. It just
Christians only.
Called for it. Christians only. The Bible
just
only makes Christians
booklet.
Only.
It's not the actual
book. Oh, that one. Okay. That's the 365 questions on
the questions, and then the book that came before it was Christians Only. It had a pair of shaking hands on the front. It was a paperback booklet. And then I believe he used that booklet to come out with the book itself.
Okay. The Bible only makes Christians only. We appreciate that insight. Anybody else? Brother? Wonderful.
And if Brother Warren spent a full year preparing for that Warren Blue debate, and one of his concerns was that maybe some thought it went off so well and it was so easy that they may jump up and challenge one of those guys. But they didn't realize he had spent a full year. Brother Deaver stated he hated to get some correspondence from Brother Warren because he knew it was an assignment to read another book. So Brother Warren leaned heavily on, as Brother Light said, a lot of brethren to help him prepare for that debate, but that debate has done excellent. Sent a copy to a philosopher in Florida, And the word we got back, wow, where's this man been?
Yeah.
And
that's right.
He is in contact with Flu. He knows Flu. And he's in contact with him. And he's trying to get him to take another step. Of course, we're trying to get that philosopher to take another step, too. But
the part of this is, let's get others to read these books.
Amen.
We're going to ask Wallace Alexander in just a moment to lead us in a word of prayer. But there's some Brother Ansel, come and explain the rationale we use for having someone from the area read the luncheon or the dinner.
From the very first, we have asked someone locally, either connected with the college, university, or with the church in some way, to be our dinner speaker. And this has proved to be very, very successful. And so that's why we have this, and we have someone in the Montgomery area for our dinner speaker there. And so we are happy to have this. And these have always been proved with a good deal of interest. Let me say another word about David. Sam and I met with the lectureship committee to present the idea of us having this, and we're so grateful that they agreed to that we could start this program. This does not take away from the lectureship in the sense that there's no other classes while we are meeting, but as being said, that we need to honor the great people of the past. We stand on their shoulders. I believe it was Isaac Newton said that if I have been able to accomplish anything because I have stood on the shoulders of those who have been before me. And so this is one of our purposes here, is to make you acquainted with men like Brother Warren and these others. And so we hope to continue this in the future as long as we can.
Yes.
And Brother Sam, everyone knows by now, we've added the Friends of the Restoration on Monday morning.
Right.
In addition, I mean, that and the dinner all sort of goes together.
Right, it does, yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. It all goes together, yeah.
And the attendance both these years, we've been very pleased.
We mentioned about the spiritual sword. Brother Warren started that in his garage in 1951 when he lived on Doyle Street. He was a preacher for East Ridge and started it.
Right. How many think this is a rich session today?
Absolutely.
Thank you, brother. Just remain seated, and Brother Wallace, would you stand where you are and lead us as we close?
Our gracious, loving Father in heaven, we're so grateful, Father, for the opportunity we've had this afternoon to come together on this occasion. We're thankful that we can be reminded of the great work Brother Warren did. Pray that we might try to emulate him as far as his study, his desire to defend your word. We're indeed grateful, Father, for all those great men of the Restoration who have done so much that helps us so much that we might try to continue. We're also grateful, Father, for Creed Hardiman, for this lectureship. And we pray that you would be with every speaker. And help us all, Father, that we might open our minds and hearts, that we might be able to know and learn more about you and your word. With us, Father, in all good things, through Jesus we pray. Amen.